What now?
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Keeping you updated on what's going on up there in Indy as the Falcons have practice number two against the Colts. Again, starters won't play on Saturday in preseason game number two, so we're finding out a lot of information. As we mentioned, Penix did throw a touchdown to Bijan on a wheel route in 7-on-7. He's not participating on 11-on-11.
Wheel route is always there.
I love it, man. That's a great play for him. And then he throws an interception to Colts linebacker Jalen Carlos, I believe it is. In 7-on-7, and I said on Twitter, Mike, where's the outrage? There's a pick. See, that's the problem we're having with this whole discussion. And that's why I think, you know, again, we talk about Tua and Penix and going back and forth. It's to Mike's point about, hey, do you have this guy or that guy? It's wobble, right? You go back and forth. You're either for this guy or you're for that guy. Where's the outrage? He just threw a pick in 7-on-7. And Mike's being real about this. 7-on-7 is technically easier, which is why I always say it's not real football, than playing 11-on-11. The field guys changes. And so with defenders out there. But either way, this is good news. He threw a touchdown. Like, that's what we should be celebrating. Right. But everybody, you know, wants to look at the mistakes and, oh, I told you this dude couldn't play.
And that's why, you know, when we got into that phrase that, you know, I know your reaction when I said, like, I didn't want to say it. I don't want, guys, the last thing I want to do is go to another year without the playoffs. I'm just looking at in my perspective. And I had a guy, you know, you're just throwing clickbait out there. Guys, I have never once been this negative about the Falcons in their entire history of my time here covering the Falcons. This year, I'm keeping it real, man, because in the past, I told Carl, I get amped up and ramped up with the preseason stuff, and I see things like, oh, look at that guy, oh, shiny. Hell, I even got fired about Desmond Ridder. I feel dirty about that guy.
Dirty.
Trying to project that Desmond Ridder could be our version of Russell Wilson, but no dice.
No. All right, man, more on that to come. Let's talk to our man Mike Griffith and talk some dogs.
And Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Money Mike. So we find out Georgia is spending money.
Right.
I think we knew that. Where are they spending it, Mike Griffith?
I mean, look, they're spending it all over the field. But before we dive into this,
uh-oh,
I want you were talking about feeling dirty about Desmond Ridder. Right?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell you what you need to feel dirty about. Last week, you made a reference to me. I think it was very casual. I don't think you meant anything by it. But I'm a proud guy. I'm a proud American. I've worked hard for everything I have. You said, Mike, you've bounced around a little. Listen, yeah. I've bounced around like Kirby Smart's bounced around. I've bounced around going to bigger beats and bigger markets since 1993. And I don't think that's bouncing around. And I'm pretty pleased with being in the Atlanta market, just like you. You're in the Atlanta market. You didn't start here.
I bounced around.
You started somewhere, too. You bounced around. I'm quote-unquote bounced around.
Right.
But bounced around is not the same as working your ass off to get into the Atlanta market and be a part of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation, and 92.9 as a guest.
Right. I don't even know. But I'm not even sure. We had a guy who called in. You said you grew up in Michigan, and you dreamed of covering the SEC, and he was a Michigan guy, and you covered me. And
that was a few weeks back.
But that wasn't me. That was him. I wasn't disparaging you, but if that's the way you took it, sorry.
There was a bounce around reference. I just wanted. I said, you know what? Instead of holding this in, because I don't want to hold it in.
Don't hold it in.
I feel better. I felt better about, you know, throwing Desmond Ridder under the bus, and you felt guilty. I agree. Listen, I was drinking the Kool-Aid, too. He was going to beat Georgia. And he was, how many seconds away from beating Georgia in the Peach Bowl in 2020?
That's true.
Good college quarterback until Aziz Ojulari, ruined his world. That final say. How many times did he sack him that day? 11? Right. Was that not a clue for, maybe the Falcons scouts weren't there that day. I don't know.
Mike, you feel better?
I feel so much better.
All right, so then answer this. Where are they spending this money? Where are they spending it? Because everybody thinks that Georgia's not spending on par with some of these other schools, and Mike and I have been discussing this week. So where is it going? And you say they're spending it all over the field, but he's very cautious about how he pays for quarterbacks, is he not?
Well, you know, they've gotten outbid for Caleb Williams and Fernando Mendoza and Jared Curtis. There was some money on the table to those guys. But USC, and Vanderbilt, and apparently Indiana was willing to spend more. I mean, look, Kirby spends money on his secondary. Listen, I love KJ Bolden, but he wasn't free. He didn't come into the fold until Raiola decided to take whatever money he'd been promised or turn down whatever money he'd been promised and go to Nebraska. And all of a sudden, he got this money. Well, now KJ Bolden, what do you know? He flips to Florida State to Jordan. Maybe they were able to come up a little bit more money for KJ Bolden. And he has earned it, every penny of it. He's a fantastic player, and he showed you that right from the first game at the Benz. We took down that 235-pound Clemson running back in the open field as a 175-pound true freshman. So KJ's earning those checks. And if you're going to keep all these guys that they kept, you think Elijah Griffin, you think he came back for free? How about Juan Gaston, right? These are some big money dudes that you paid to retain that would have potentially gone elsewhere. And you had to negotiate those deals to stop Georgia from losing. Because, yes, Kirby Smart, and I think ESPN put this out, I want to say over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, Kirby has the fewest incoming transfers, but Georgia also has the fewest outgoing transfers. So they've lost the guys for the most part, other than Damon Wilson, maybe one or two others. They've kept who they wanted to keep. That ain't cheap, because those guys are coming in as 4- and 5-star players. So to resign those guys, you got to spend some money. And I do think there's a pretty decent base salary at Georgia compared with some other places. I think you got to keep the locker room happy. I don't think they spend as much as some other schools. No, I don't think they have Texas money or Ohio State money or LSU money or Texas Tech money or Miami money. But I'd say they're probably, you know, in the second half of the top 10, you know, probably somewhere between 5 and 10. They're doing okay. They're doing all right. They got enough money to win a championship with the right guys.
Right. No, I mean, it's always been about the big, you know, are they ever going to get the big, big quarterback? You know, nothing against where they got with Bennett. Maybe Puglisi will be that guy, but we've always kind of characterized it, Mike, as Mike Griffith joins from Dog Nation, as like the bona fide Heisman candidate, the 5-star guy. You know, or does Kirby just not want that smoke?
No, I think you're onto something, because Kirby, in this last offseason, you know, and there was an article, it was back in January, where he came out with a statement, you know, I've asked, what are we doing wrong, right? That's him saying that. Because, you know, obviously they lost in the playoff to Notre Dame, which, you know, they lost their starting quarterback the game before. Okay, got that. And then last year they, you know, got outgunned by Trinidad Chambliss, and okay, they were down 5 starters. They got that. But still, you know, it's Georgia, and they're supposed to be able – where's the next man up, right? Where's the Kirby system and all these other talented guys that are supposed to be ready to play? And in that process of talking about these things, Kirby took note that teams that have landed transfer quarterbacks have done pretty well in the playoffs, right? Riley Leonard, Notre Dame, yeah, where do you start? Duke, right? Mm-hmm. Carson Beck, well, he led Miami to the championship game. Mendoza, he was at Cal the year before. And the Ohio State quarterback, he was a transfer from what, Kansas State? So Kirby's picked up on this trend. I wouldn't be surprised if I had to bet right now. This is just purely blind bet. Although with this new court railing, who knows? Gunnar Stockton may come back for another year. I would bet that you'll see a transfer quarterback will be the next starting. Unless, you know, this year, obviously injuries, you know, Puglisi gets promoted or Montgomery, whoever the two is, I can't tell. It's very close. But I think the next starting quarterback full time will be a transfer. I think Kirby will go to the portal. I think the Bobo Stockton thing goes back, you know, a couple generations, and this was ultimately going to happen.
What do you think this second scrimmage, the emphasis is going to be for Kirby and his staff? What are they looking at in this second scrimmage, this upcoming one?
Well, I mean, you got to figure out your offense, right? You know, you got to see which receivers separate, but you also got to figure out what passes Gunnar Stockton can throw. I mean, look, it ain't Joe Burrow back there. I love the kid, you know, clutch, fourth quarter, high percentage passer, give you his heart and soul, go out and milk your cow, all that good stuff. But he ain't Joe Burrow. And there's going to be some throws that Gunnar Stockton is more comfortable making than others. And there's going to be some receivers that are going to do a better job separating than others. That's hard to do against this Georgia secondary. I mean, these guys are elite. I think this is the best secondary in the league. And really, Ellis Robinson is just playing out of his mind. It's incredible. But I think you got to figure out what your quarterback can do. I mean, how fast is he processing? Is he getting through the progressions? And when he does, is he on target on that second and third guy? Is he still having trouble throwing it over the middle? Or are there still balls being batted? Is he moving well enough in the pocket now to find those passing lanes? Is he feeling the pressure? Is he throwing the ball off the scramble with enough separation that you're not holding your breath, you know, because he's, you know, going to get hit like a Batman movie five times every game? There's a lot of things Gunner has to get better at to make it to be effective and to make it through the season healthy. And at times last year, he wasn't effective. And the times he wasn't healthy. And the quarterback's got to be able to protect himself. So is he processing quicker? How much has the footwork improved? Is he layering the ball more effectively? That was something that was missing. We talked about throwing over the middle. You know, you've got to be able to throw over guys and drop it in. You can't just rifle straight shots or throw fades. There's that in-between ball. That's the separator. That's the NFL throw, if you can layer the pass. Can you throw the deep out? Can you throw the post route? You know, to me, that's where the Georgia pass game, it's not just the receivers, even though I do think they're mediocre by championship team standards at best. Same with the running back, by championship team standards, by playoff team standards, okay? Better than 90% of college football, but we're talking about 12 teams here, maybe 10 that actually have a chance to win it, right?
Right.
So Gunner's got, they got to figure out what he can do. Just like the Falcons, you know, have got to figure out, you know, Penix and Tua and you know, do they trade for, is Stetson Bennett going to be on the block anytime soon? I mean, Ty Simpson's lighting it up like this. Does that make Stetson Bennett expendable in L.A.? Should we be keeping an eye on L.A.? Because if you got 4 years of a Sean McVay-trained Stetson Bennett, who looked darn good in the scrimmage or the preseason last season, by the way, looked real good. He's a better quarterback now than he was then. I mean, are the Falcons, could they be hunting a trade if one of these guys doesn't work out, or is that ship sailed?
Right. Well, that's it. That's it. I mean, bottom line, as dog fans every day bring up Stetson Bennett, and again, I get why, and certainly he's looked good at times, but look, their quarterback of the future comes in the draft. If Penix doesn't handle his business this year, Mike, you know, everybody in the team is rooting for this guy to establish himself as the man, save some money, but I think the quarterback long-term is in the draft for next year. Hey, real quick, before we cut you loose, this crazy Louisiana judge with a temporary restraining order, you just referenced it. I mean, are we really going to see guys go from practice squads back to college this week?
Yeah, I mean, Tom Mars told us this was going to happen. And I think I mentioned on the show, you know, collective bargaining is the only thing that's going to stop this from happening. This is a state-level case. Even if you had congressional oversight, that's at the federal level. You know, it's hard to stop it. But our labor law, if you're going to apply labor laws, which is what judges are doing, this is going to keep happening, guys. This is going to keep happening until we get to collective bargaining. That's why, you know, this is, you know, this whole deal with the, you know, congressional oversights, you know, yeah, it solves a few things, but not this big. And this is a big thing. I mean, this is really gross. I mean, this is really gross. Guys that are playing in the NFL, come out of the NFL camp, and they're getting sacks in games. And I mean, come on, where does it stop? I mean, it's really ridiculous. It's not good. It's bad for college football. It's going to force some people out. But you know what? If that Jack Pyburn guy that played LSU goes in the portal and Georgia gets him, I think there'll be a lot of different opinions about it tomorrow. Right? Everybody's against it until their team benefits. Well, now wait a minute. You know, this is okay now. You know, Kirby made it work. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that I don't like it one stinking bit. It's so late in the process. It's so late in the game. My question is, you know, who are the guys that are going to get cut out of the equation if these guys come back? One and two. Man, it seems like you ought to have your roster locked in by now. And then the question is, does the SEC, which has said, oh, we're going to break away, and if we, you know, and when they say breakaway, they mean enforce their own rules. They don't mean just have a 16-team league. But will the SEC get on their high horse and say, no, we're not going to let our teams do it? I don't know. It'd be somewhat hypocritical if SEC teams took any of these guys. But then you say, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't they be putting themselves at a disadvantage if they didn't? I'd say, yeah, just like they put themselves at a disadvantage when they said guys couldn't transfer within the conference in the second portal window. They've done it before, but will they get on that high horse and do it again? Or will the coaches look at Greg Sankey and say, hey, you gave us a 9-game schedule. We don't want to hear from you. We need to do what we got to do to win in the playoffs. And if that means get a couple of these NFL guys, that's what they're going to do. What do you guys think? Would you say the SEC, if they can cash in on these guys, should do it? Or should they take the high road?
Yes, they should take the high road.
Somebody has to take the high road. Somebody has to be an adult in this thing. But
take the high road.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it across college football. So.
The irony of that, of course, is that we've listened for decades of, you know, holier than thou Big Ten fans tell us how dirty the SEC is.
Right.
And the irony of the SEC wanting to do things the right way right now, while there's some suspicions that other schools outlaw. I find these to be quite ironic times, I will say that.
We've got more on the dirty Big Ten coming up in Guy Talk.
All right, Mike Griffin, thank you so much. Check him out, AJC.com, Dog Nation.